And a sheep farm from Doncaster says that he's considering packing it in after a spate of thefts. He's Russell Tootle. He's got a flock of around 300 sheep. Well, he had until 20 were stolen last December, costing him around $3,500. He says there's little he can do to stop it happening again, and neither, apparently, can the police. We've sent our man Dan Green out to see Russell on his farm in Orkley this morning to find out more.
Yeah, good morning, Ronnie. You join us in the wonderful Doncaster countryside, not too far from the airport, in fact. I absolutely love coming out to this neck of the woods. I think it's one of the most beautiful bits of South Yorkshire, and I only wish we were talking about nicer things this morning. Russell Tootle is the farmer here. He joins me in the yard. We've just heard there about some of the problems you've had. It sounds absolutely awful. Tell us what's happened.
Well, we lost the 20 sheep in December. We found the gate cut off one morning, and we had the sheep penned up a couple of days later to scan them for pregnancy, and found we were 20 light. There were breeding sheep that were taken. There was no signs of them being penned. It was a very professional theft. They were taking my breeding sheep, which had quite a high value, so I believe someone was taking them down the road and actually continuing with them, breeding with them. I don't think they were going into the meat business. It gets to the point now where at any field at the side of a major road, we don't know how to keep it secure. We can put locks on the gates, but they cut them off, they cut the hinges. We've taken the extraordinary lengths now to try and keep people at bay. We've dug about a mile of 3 foot deep at dry ditch, and we've got electric gates on, and we've got surveillance cameras on the buildings, but we just don't know what else we can do to keep the thieves off. And I think this is becoming a problem right across Yorkshire. I know from the NFU there were 5 cases of theft last autumn in my area, but there'll be many more cases up on the hills above Sheffield where sheep will be stolen. The farmer won't know until he actually puts all his sheep together to count and finds his light, and he won't be able to detect whether they've been stolen or whether they've died and he hasn't picked up the body.
So this is far from an isolated incident for people around here. And of course, the problem is we hear about how difficult it is to make a profit in farming. All this stuff that you're having to do, the CCTV, digging trenches, putting padlocks, triple padlocks on gates, it's all eating into your time and your money, isn't it?
Yeah, I've spent probably approaching £20,000 over the last few years on security measures, and it doesn't bring me any return. It's just a cost to my business. Certainly, I begin to despair about keeping livestock. And yet, keeping livestock makes my farm such a better, more environmentally friendly place. I've won numerous awards for the environment on my farm, and it's the mixed farming that creates that. I'd be very sad to have to go out of livestock, but I'm afraid we have to start and consider it.
Well, it's far more than just a profession, isn't it? I mean, I know I grew up on a dairy farm, and I know the attachment that my dad had with the livestock and with what he did, and you take a pride in it, don't you? How on earth does it feel to be standing here in this position?
It's very sad, really. We do take a pride in our job and the way we run our farms, but at the end of the day, like everyone else, we have to make a living and be responsible for our families and to sort of feed and clothe everyone. We aren't so poor. We just won't continue doing jobs that lose us money, and if the livestock side of the farm is going to lose us money, then I'll switch into something that doesn't.
Oh, and Dan Green there talking out on the farm. I'm joined on the phone from the studios at Radio Sheffield by Tim Price, Rural Affairs spokesperson for the insurance company NFU Mutual, which I think is the one most farmers use. Tim Price, how common is the kind of crime we're hearing about there from Russell Tootle?
Well, good morning to you. Sadly, the sort of crimes that Russell's experienced are all too commonplace, and as the main insurer of farms and rural properties across the country, we're hearing an awful lot of cases like this. And while in the last decade, most of the time thieves have concentrated on stealing machinery like quad bikes and tractors and tools and equipment, in the last year we've seen a big jump in livestock rustling, which has led to a doubling in claims in the northeast of England in 2011, and a probable bill to the region's farmers of over £1.3 million a year. So it is a very big problem.
And presumably you insure, you pay up when the 20 sheep are pinched, don't you?
If they're insured, yes. A lot of farmers haven't had insurance for their livestock against theft in recent years because the risk has been pretty low. But now that it's on the scene again, the farmers are now sort of having to consider whether they should insure their sheep. You know, they felt they were safe beforehand. And, of course, that adds to their bills, as does the need to be much more vigilant, patrolling the fields and watching out for strange vehicles, and spending a lot of money on physical security, like gates and padlocks.
Yeah, I think you used the word rustle in the course of that, and people have used that word. It does sound a bit wild, all this happening on the fields of Yorkshire and Derbyshire.
Yes, it is a very sort of biblical sounding word, but livestock rustling is probably one of the oldest crimes. You know, so when the first caveman had a goat and the bloke from the next cave came along and stole it. So it doesn't seem to sit easily in our modern world. But we are seeing much more professional, if that's the right word, livestock theft at the moment.
I suppose the interesting thing about the image you used there of the person in the neighbouring cave, the assumption I made from what Russell was saying is that it is farmers who are doing the pinching, because they're taking, in his case, breeding sheep, presumably to make them breed and have their children. It's not being sold off to butchers who are selling sausages and things. These are other farmers pinching other farmers' stuff, by the sound of it.
I don't know about that. The majority of livestock that we're seeing stolen at the moment, we believe are going directly into the food chain, because they're not seen again. And some cases have been very large numbers, sort of typically 70 to 300 going at once. So the breeding stock is quite an unusual crime. It's at the moment very much an unknown where all these stock are going. And ourselves and the police are working together through a number of operations to try and actually get to the bottom of where livestock are actually ending up.
Russell, would you like to come back on that one? Because your story is about 20 sheep that were to be used in breeding.
Yes, I actually agree with the gentleman from the NFU. The majority will be going straight into the food chain for meat. But in my case, I believe they weren't. I think they were stolen to order and someone was actually going to continue and breed with those animals.
Were the police any
the nature of the animals they took.
Sorry to interrupt. Were the police any use to
you? The police haven't got the resources to be able to deal with this sort of crime. The numbers are being cut. There isn't the resource in the country to be able to fund the size of police force that we'd like. So they're as frustrated as we are, because they can't get to the bottom of this sort of thing.
Yeah, and do they follow... I mean, Tim Price, from your point of view, do you think the police are doing their job properly?
I think in a lot of areas in the countryside, police are now far more involved than they were a few years ago, which is good news. But they're always short of resources, and the problem in the countryside is that it's big and it's open, and you can't lock everything up. But what we see as the main insurer of the countryside is that local people can play a tremendous part if they get together as the eyes and ears of their local area. And schemes like Farm Watch and Rural Watch, where people get together and report any suspicious sightings or noises at night, that really does make a big difference. And in areas where Farm Watch schemes are well organised and well supported, they are doing a great job in actually alerting police to crimes as they take place and enabling them to get there and in some cases catch people while they're actually stealing from farms.
And what about insurance companies like your own, Tim Price? Are you shoving up the premiums in the way insurance companies always do when we start claiming our money?
Well, premiums aren't going up sort of above the rate of inflation at the moment, and we hope to keep it like that. While rustling has increased, it's still quite low.
They're not
compared with the other claims that we pay for sort of weather events and accidents on farms.
Thanks ever so much, Russell. You were coming back there on that one.
Well, the mutual are very good. They're actually an organisation that's not in business to make a great profit. They're in business for the members, which we, the farmers, are, that insure with them. So they do pass on the costs that they have to pass on, i.e. the cost of this theft.
Thanks ever so much for joining us from down on the farm there, Russell Tootle, and before that Tim Price, and before that Dan Green, our man down on the farm. I didn't know Dan himself came from farming stock either.